morning, everybody. It's January 28th, 2020, and I hereby call the meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors to order at 10 a.m. And if you would like to, please join us as we say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody. Next, we have adoption of the agenda. Are there any changes that anybody sees that we need to make to the agenda? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve today's agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Seddon.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Merkin. Aye. We have adopted the agenda. Now we move on to public comment number one. This comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. I'll open the public comment session. And if any members of the public would like to comment, would you please go to the microphone? Seeing no members of the public headed to the microphone, I will close public comment number one. We do not have any agency reports, so we'll skip over that. Next, we have consideration of minutes, January
21, 2020. I so move approval.
Second.
Okay. Olson?
Aye.
Seddon?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Minutes are approved. Next, consideration of personnel actions. I would entertain a motion to approve personnel actions as listed.
I move to approve personnel actions as listed.
Aye. Second.
Okay. Hedden.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Merkin. Aye. There we go. Another one. Consent agenda. Does anybody want to pull anything from consent?
No. No.
Then I would entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Olson.
Aye.
Hedden.
Aye.
Merkin. Aye. Approved. Public hearing items, we have none. Additional items, discussion and consideration of county attorney applicants and February 4, 2020 presentation requirements. Alyssa Widnall, Director of Internal Operations and HR. Good morning.
Good morning. All right, so we did, the application deadline was last Friday at midnight, and we had had one applicant, Timothy Niels, is the individual that applied to be appointed as the county attorney. So the purpose of this today is just to set up and see what the board, we have a February 4th date, 6 p.m. is when the board wanted to have the presentation. Is that still how the board would like to handle and have that on that day?
Any other options anybody wants to suggest?
I thought about, well, should we have it during the meeting, you know, given that there's one applicant. But then I thought this is the opportunity for members of the public, and yes, we know that some members of the public can't come during the day, right? But there might be other members of the public who already are planning to come during that 6 p.m. time. And that's why I'm interested in sticking with the 6 p.m. time for his presentation and any questions we have.
And I'm fine with maintaining. I think folks probably knew that that's when we would probably have it, and I'm fine with maintaining the same date and time.
Okay.
Since we set the February 4th date, I've had something come up on my calendar.
Oh, okay.
At 6:30. It's emergency management. It's a jurisdictional executive workshop, and I could probably be a little late to that. I've done it before. But we're just going to have a presentation, nothing else, right, at that time?
The questions from the board.
Okay, how long is the presentation going to be?
That's another question that I wanted the board to determine today.
What if we do 10-minute presentation, yep. 10 minutes for questions, or 20 minutes for questions?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can be done by 6:30.
I think that sounds very reasonable.
Yeah, I think so. Does that work?
Up to 10 minutes presentation.
Okay. Yep. And any parameters, or just what we've done in the past is they just do whatever, you know, they need to present to the board why they're qualified and why they should be appointed is kind of how we handled it in the past.
Yeah, I think that sounds
reasonable.
Does that
work?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I have liked that almost all of the applicants, regardless of the position, mm-hmm. of the office position, they told us a little bit about themselves, and I have to admit, since he works in the attorney's office already and deals with prosecution, et cetera, I don't know much about him.
Okay.
So it's an opportunity to get to know him.
Sure.
You know, so whatever he wants to tell us about.
Okay.
So let's see if the clock to 6:30.
Sounds good.
Yep. Okay. Is that sufficient direction then?
Yep, I'll go ahead and contact Tim and let him know. And then on, and we'll get, we'll post notice and get an agenda. We'll get that taken care of. And then we do have on February 7th at 1 p.m. would be the special meeting for appointment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. That does it.
All right. I think that's all.
Thank you. Thank you for all your work on this.
Yeah, and I don't know, do we need a motion since it's a consideration of the process? I put it on there as a consideration, yes.
I think we have to set the meeting time at least, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to entertain a motion to set the date and time for the special meeting's presentation by our applicant for county attorney.
I actually would move not only that, to set the date and the meeting time for the presentation by our applicant from at 6 o'clock on February 4th.
Mm-hmm.
I would also move that we set the meeting time for appointment at 1 o'clock on February 7th.
Okay.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Any discussion?
Mm-hmm.
Olson?
Aye.
Dudden?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye.
All right, thank you.
Great, thank you. Next, we have discussion, selection of consultant to complete the Story County housing study and needs assessment and direct county staff to negotiate a contract with the scheduled consultant. We did have a presentation last week, and Sandra and Leanne, do you have anything you'd like to bring to us right now? Any comments before we have discussion?
I don't have anything to add.
Okay. What's your pleasure, board?
Well, I was impressed with both RDG and the Hannah Kinlan were the two. Was not with the third group that we had. I give a bit more, I guess, my own scoring or whatever mm-hmm. towards the RDG, I think because they've already been working with the G's. They were familiar with the 2040 plan and how that would fit in with Story County as a whole, having that. But I have to say, I was also very impressed with the Hannah Kinlan, and I think both of them would do very well for us. Not sure on your all opinion on it, but that's just where my thoughts are between those two. I agree entirely. I'm concerned with the long-distance relationship of WES, that just logistically, if it couldn't work for us, I'm just very concerned about that. So I eliminated them from my options. And then between the two, RDG had done a community housing needs assessment for Story City in the past. Okay. And so I looked at that, so their familiarity with two of our cities already. I will say, though, I liked the written report of Hannon better. I liked what they were at, how they explained they would handle it better. And for me, a primary consideration is how much of it will be hands-on in the communities. Finding that, and I thought that they did a good job of explaining that. The RDG, as we've watched them work with the City Council on the comprehensive plan, which is a much broader thing than just the housing market of that, okay? So, yes, they're familiar with it, but I feel comfortable also that Hannon could use them, use the information that's already available from the Ames City staff. One of the other reasons why I kind of am leaning toward Hannon is I liked the response about working with the ADC and other references when it came to getting that on-ground information and when it came to presentations and suggestions for various financial resources. Because I think we're going to find out that we already have at our fingertips some people who are very knowledgeable about financing options and working with them. That having been said, okay, while I'm leaning a little bit toward Hannon, I'm not saying it right, Hannon, okay, cute. But either firm would be acceptable to me. With both of them, I would want to make sure that when we actually negotiate the contract, we know we've got a quote from them, but that we make sure that we're comfortable with the robustness of their ground game.
Tell me specifically what you saw from Hannah and Neyland that you thought they would do a better job than RDG on the ground. Because when we were talking with the, mm-hmm. the person from RDG, she seemed to be honed in on that and talking about going to all the communities mm-hmm. and meeting with all the communities. I just wondered what you saw.
Sure. I was impressed with her also. I'm going to go back to the written report, and okay. possibly I, as a writer, lean very heavily on how people communicate in writing as well as how they communicate in verbal presentation. And I felt the written project proposal that came to us was written in a friendlier, cleaner manner. Now, that translates for me in my book about how they will communicate out on the ground game, what those surveys may look like, how the sessions for public input may go. So it's really a gut feeling based upon the presentation styles. And I will say all three reports, or all three proposals, had very different presentation styles. One was very clinical and so broken out that I felt like I was ordering off of a menu in a way. Then RDG's I felt was more related to communication, but I felt they had the best one related to communication.
Yeah, I have some comments from both the Hannah Kinlan and RDG. Hannah Kinlan, they made the comment that they do a thorough citizen participation process. They go out in communities, leave an input, not just by the elected, but the general citizenship, businesses, et cetera. I just felt that they moved to really kind of accentuate some of that. But then the RDG also, they really talked about their data analysis, their benchmarks, really trying to find out what's on the ground, what's going on in the community. So in essence, they said kind of the same thing, just in a different yeah. format.
Right.
I thought that's where I would be happy with either one of them. I thought they both brought their A game to their mm-hmm. presentations.
Okay. Laura, you said RDG had done a study in Story City.
I'm sure it was listed in there.
Yes, it is listed.
Okay.
They've done a lot of medium to smaller communities.
Mm-hmm. And one thing in favor of, or more familiarity with the work of RDG, and this is a positive, is the Mitchell County Housing Study. And I've actually read it mm-hmm. because Brenda Dreyer was up there. I think she left to come down here to Ames just as RDG was issuing that Mitchell County report. So she brought me a couple of it. So I have read it, and it certainly meets our needs. Okay, so it's a communication style for me, and I don't have the only communication style. Okay, so
I would agree that both the Hannah Kinlan and the RDG could do it, and their numbers were close enough together that I don't think we look at. Saying one, one was slightly under the other. I think I lean towards RDG because of Story City, because of the work they're doing right now in Ames, because as I kind of said yesterday, I think there should be some connection between the Ames 2040 plans and what is going on for housing in the rest of the county. And how the rest of the county and the other communities can help with that projected Ames housing needs. So I'm pretty much leaning towards RDG at this point. So how do we make a decision?
I would just like to say that sounds like RDG, and we'll make a motion. I think that's how we make the decision. I mean, I'm not opposed to RDG, okay? But I would once again like to, with the staff, we'll be working with them right away. I'm looking at Jerry, and I'm looking at Sandra, and I'm looking at Leanne, okay, as primary having some input. Dustin, I'm looking at you. You're not staff, per se, but consultant. Is that once again to make sure that there's good communication there on not only the ground, but that there's good communication on the timeline involved. Since we will have some of the people of RDG who will be working both on the Ames Comprehensive Plan and NRs, just want to make sure that we were really tracking timelines so we're aware if there are holdup, complications, et cetera. So with that, I'll make the motion. Okay, and I will move that we offer a contract to RDG with the stipulations I kind of said about make sure about the public engagement, et cetera.
I'll second.
Okay.
Okay, there's been a motion and a second to award the contract for the Housing Study and Needs Assessment to RDG. Any further discussion?
No.
And I was just kind of looking through some of the emails, and it looks like that staff who were involved were pretty comfortable with our RDG.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, then if there's no further discussion, Olson?
Aye.
Hedden?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. So,
I would like to ask just one other thing that when staff responds to Hannah Keelan, okay, please convey to them that the board was also pleased with their presentation and work, and it really was a tight consideration. Mm-hmm. That's good with you guys.
That would be good.
Yeah, okay. That would be fine.
Thank you.
Okay, and I don't know that we need a motion, just direction to staff to negotiate a contract.
We just did that.
Did you have that in there?
That was in there.
Okay, I'm sorry. Never mind. Okay.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. Yes, and I want to thank everybody who assisted Dustin and Leanne and Sandra and Jerry with reviewing the proposal.
Oh, Carla.
Yeah, Carla, I wonder what you're doing here today. Sorry about that. Thank you.
We appreciate all the help on this, and there will be a role in the future as we continue on with this housing study, I'm sure. So thank you again. Now, on to department reports. We have none. Other reports, we are on to our draft CIP and public review process. Leanne Harder, welcome back, Leanne. Good to see you.
Capital Improvements Plan that is on today's agenda reflects the revisions that came from the budget work session. I will admit if you have any questions on any of the changes, I'll probably have to defer to Sandra and Lisa and Alyssa because I've not had a chance to review all the budget work sessions yet. But those should be all reflected in the draft that was on today's agenda. So today is to discuss how we do the public input process from this point forward. The schedule, the time frame that was adopted by the board last fall has today's meeting to review the draft, make suggestions for any final changes, preliminary final changes on the draft, and then we would start a public comment period. That comment period in the past has consisted of putting it on the website, along with a comment sheet, and then also sending copies to all the city halls and libraries, similar to what we do with the newsletter. And then a press release would go out as well, and then social media. I think I've scheduled in social media like 3 or 4 times on Hootsuite over the next till March 5th to make sure that the link is out there. Then on March 3rd, I would bring any public input to the board, and then we would start the formal adoption concurrent with the budget. Are there any questions?
I have no questions about the process and the timing. After we're done with that, I'd like to go back and actually talk about some of the numbers. I'd like to talk about the draft itself.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with the timeline either. I think it seems reasonable.
And I did not have, I couldn't find time, and I didn't have my copy with notes with me yesterday when I was looking at this, so I've not been able to compare to the notes that I took in the budget hearing. So you've been able to do that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why don't we go through it then and see where we might have questions?
Sure. So fiscal year 2020, when we get shows down to the phase three, so it's page eight, okay? Phase three of the Tedesco Environmental Learning Corridor construction, and the estimated budget amount now reflects $1,758,050, and we still were operating on $1,500,000 last discussion we had, and that, okay, so I'm wondering, does anybody know where the $258,000 came from?
Refunding.
Thank you. So that will be REAP, the REAP funding itself.
Which is listed there?
I understand it's listed there, but the, nowhere in my notes could I find that we changed the dollar.
I had in my notes $1,338,267 plus REAP FY21.
Correct. We didn't have a dollar amount for REAP at the time. So I took that discussion to keep us at $1.5 million. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Sure.
So then moving into fiscal year 2020, page 10. Once again, the Heart of Iowa Nature Trail paving phase two, that's the second item. It still lists the general funds there, so it says state and federal grants, general fund and energy transfer fund, and we eliminated, I believe, the general fund, so that the funds will come from state and federal grants. They've already have applied for those and been awarded. And then the energy transfer fund, my understanding, was where the rest of that money was coming from. Is that what you guys understood?
I have CERCPA, $200,000, mm-hmm. State Rec and Trails, $530,000, ETF, $327,500.
Thank you. That's what I had also.
So we do need general funds deleted from that. Is that what you would say, Lisa? Is that consistent?
I would have to review that, but that's
okay. Okay, so delete general fund under Heart of Iowa Nature Trail Phase 2. And then,
okay.
And then the next one there, Heart of Iowa Nature Trail Paving Inflator.
Mm-hmm.
I have state and federal grants crossed out because we have no applications in now.
Correct. That was right. The next one. Right. We are paying out of general fund for that one.
Maybe, do we want to sit here in this meeting and go through this all, or should we maybe sit down with Leanne with our notes?
Given my limited hours, I would suggest if you're willing to do it today or at the board meeting, then I can get the changes and get it posted.
Okay.
Good. Okay. So then now I'm moving.
So on that one, I'm not so sure that all it says is potential funding sources. It's not committing funding sources.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get a state and federal grant, there would be potential other funding sources.
Okay. Okay. All right. I got the impression they weren't even applying for any.
Well,
I think they're still looking for them. I think so,
okay.
Too. I don't think they're even committed.
Okay.
Okay.
No.
Oh dear!
On the
bottom,
we'll have
to take
it to her. On the bottom of
the page.
Okay.
You get the tall chair.
Oh, good.
Which is not any shorter than this chair. I just learned about.
Okay. Now I'm going to skip over page 12. I have a note, but it's more related to a question about StoryCom itself, so we'll skip over that. Stick with strictly the CIP for now. And then the next notes I have are on page 16.
Oh, no,
page 12. No, it's because, like I said, it's more about StoryCom.
Okay.
Okay. So that's fiscal year 2023. So what we have, the third item down on page 16 is the Justice Center outbuilding storage construction, right? Then if you go to the top,
of page 17, we've got the Justice Center Courthouse Building Share the Climate Controlled Storage Construction. And I thank you, Joby. All right. So I'm trying to ascertain whether this is a duplication or not of this storage building, because I heard that, you know, so now are we looking about one climate-controlled one and one regular one? Because I had not gotten that impression.
The outbuilding storage construction would be anticipated, a new building in the backyard of the Justice Center, mm-hmm. and then the climate-controlled storage building would be a potential infill of the courtyard of the Justice Center.
Okay, rather than that standalone that the sheriff was talking about at one point.
Correct.
On the Embrook Head. Thank you. So that was my question, whether we were duplicating or not. Okay. Then coming down.
Excuse me.
Sure. Uh-huh.
But the outbuilding storage construction is in there, but that would be contingent upon the results of the space needs study.
Right.
Correct.
All
both,
of them.
Both of
all
those projects right. would, okay. would mm-hmm. be contingent right. on the space needs study.
Okay. Right. So, and the outbuilding storage that would not be climate controlled, could that's as a built as a construction. So that would happen while we're still flipping over to take a look at what we'll do with the climate control. In the event that needs study would come back showing that we could do the about the infill over the Justice Center, that project of climate control. Is there any way, Joby, that you see us not needing the outbuilding storage if there would be enough space, or do you still see that as a separate need?
I still see it as a separate need.
Okay. Thank you.
I would say from my standpoint, however, that it's included in the study, and all of this is subject to change depending on whether the study says
right.
you don't need that, you don't need that much, you need something different, here's a better idea. I see all of these contingent upon what our study is.
I still see that too. I'm still with the need study first, okay? But then when I ran numbers about how much we're going to need out of the general fund, et cetera, looking there, I mean, it makes a difference, $675,000. Is not a small amount for this outbuilding if, in fact, then we're also going to do an infill project at the Justice Center, right?
Well, as people always tell me, this isn't a budget, it's a plan.
I understand. I'm, as I add the numbers, I'm being tight here, okay? So now I'd like to go down to the administration building infill addition. That's on page 16. So, Joby, you're still with me?
Yep.
Okay. So this is planning and study, and we have $1.5 million to plan and study?
Well, the $1.5 million would be a construction dollar amount.
Yeah, okay. So I'd like, if we're going to show the planning and studying in 2023 and then the infill later on, I think we should flip that. So we split them out. We split out everybody else in the CIP. So rather than 1.5 million, because boy, that's an extensive study. And plan. All right,
Joby, would you be construction because we cover that on either stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I mean,
it's the actual construction.
Yeah, instead of planning
and study.
I
understand it's the actual construction.
No, what we're saying is let's just change it to construction. Because the planning and study will be part of the needs assessment.
Correct.
We have made an effort this year, though. Oh, I see. Okay, I understand now what you're saying now. There won't be a separate cost. Got it. I've got it with you on it. Okay. So then we'll have the needs assessment in the 21. I'm now tracking with you. Okay, thank you. Okay. So then I'm headed to page 17 and down to the mobile computers with accessories. The amount listed here is $137,500. However, the total amount of this is $163,500 per what was turned in. You know, the actual slip. The difference being the installation, et cetera.
So we've been trying to get total cost of projects so we aren't caught later on. So I believe that the amount here for the mobile computers with accessories and the installation of it should be $163,500. And that was the amount that was listed in our previous draft. So I would like to change
which
that.
Which draft was that? It wasn't the one we looked at a few weeks ago, because it says 137.
Okay, then I made the notes on that. I left my yellow ones at home, because this is where I did this.
Right.
But it's the dollar amount total to do this, not just the equipment itself. It's $163,500.
And do that is how
you have it right there, Laura?
Huh?
Do you have it right there?
No. I had it as I had it as my note at home, and then I had it in my tracking sheet also.
Okay.
So, do I have these? Let's, yeah, go back and look at them. Because there were costs involved. So, I mean, once again, we're trying to figure out what the actual cost will be. Okay. Mobile computers and accessories. It's on the first page here, $137,500 for total cost, purchase price or annual rent and lease. $26,000 for installation or related charges. So the net purchase cost is $163,500.
Okay.
Okay. So like to have that put in. All right. Okay. Do that. All right.
Okay. We're changing that to $163,500.
Correct. I would like that. Then we are all doing apples for all projects, whether it be construction or a purchase or whatever, including the installation. And then on page 20, okay, and that is from the Sheriff's Office. That's the Patrol and Investigations Reporting Equipment. The amount we have listed here is $221,000, and actually the total on that is $257,500 with the installation and other costs. So I think that to help this be consistent, those would be the changes that would be made before this would be put out.
Yeah, is that a similar one? Do you have the installation?
Would the question would be in those narrative portions of project name, would you want it also to say includes installation?
Okay, sure. So now I can't find my 225. Oh, patrol. Yes. That is 257.5.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So, are there any others?
That's it.
Okay. On page 20, we've added installation on that. On page
17,
we added installation. Let me see what other things I have listed. On page 16, there's a meeting planning and study from the admin building infill.
And it's just going to be construction, is that correct?
Construction. And we talked a little bit earlier about the meetings and sources of funding, but I think that Auditor Martin makes a good point of saying that we should be grants on one of those and whatever. So
right.
I don't think we have to change those necessarily.
I'd like to take out the general fund on the ETP because we had very firmly said that was the page 10. That was on the heart of the Iowa Nature Trail where we knew that the money was coming from the ETP. But the other one I agree with.
So on the phase 2, take out general fund, but we'll leave state and federal grants in on the paving and slayer.
Correct.
And were there any other things?
No, I didn't.
Like I said, I just then got a question, but it's one that we could ask, more appropriate probably to ask at the budget this afternoon, and it's just a little further breakout about what we paid ourselves back for out of StoryCom. So I made the note here because we had the listed remaining balance, but I just have a few more questions about, you know, those
about that.
I think that's the question.
I want to talk about page 11 and the Story County attorney tomorrow. Yeah. Do we want to leave that in there?
Because we had discussed it not actually making it to construction in fiscal year 21. I think we had talked about changing that to planning and then changing the dollar amount to $50,000, if memory serves me correct, from the budget work session.
If I recall correctly, also we talked about not knowing really until a new county attorney is in position as to how we're going to proceed. I don't have a problem leaving it in there as it is, understanding that at this point in time, we haven't firmed up how we're paying for it.
Right. How about potential funding sources to be determined?
Well, I think the listing of general fund and fines recovery are the two potential. It's just determining where the split out is, if it's that, or it's general fund. And I left it calculated in my calculations as you know, roughly what we talked about with some funding from fines recovery. But as for the question, I had a question about that. I left it myself in fiscal year 21 because of the planning part of it. And you're right, it was $45,000 what I had written down.
Yeah, it was,
For the planning part of it. It's just it's so up in the air, and that's why I didn't bring it out forward,
we know it's out there. We know that we have a very legitimate drawing of it. We know where we're at on it. It's just a matter of it is not specifically budgeted. The conversation we had was let's look at what our new attorney wants to do, and due to the funding sources, we can amend it into the budget if necessary.
Right. Yeah, well, yes. Well, just so I'm seeking some clarification, I think our biggest we couldn't quite figure out because we couldn't find in any previous meeting minutes the amount that the county attorneys would put forward. I think that was where our discussion came about, and we were looking at do we just have a set amount just in there, kind of a placeholder as we kind of figure things out. So, are we wanting to have in here the placeholder amount that we had said, so keeping what was it, the 45,000 here, mm-hmm. or are we so changing that 629 to 4629? Are we wanting to put what we know overarching what the cost would be, but we've put into our budget itself only the 45,000 as a placeholder? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
What have we spent so far in architect?
It's a little over $2,000.
$2,000. So we spent virtually nothing.
Yeah, because I would think if you only put $45,000 on here and you had put it out for public to look at, they're going to think, okay, you're going to do a whole remodel for $45,000.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That would be a concern that I would have, is that it's kind of misrepresenting the project itself.
I feel if we change the dollar amount to the $45,000, we need to add language that says it's planning mm-hmm. and study or something, so that it mm-hmm. doesn't appear that it's a construction project
with
a dollar amount of $45,000, and then down the road it turns into $629,000.
Well, then we would move the rest of that to fiscal year 22. Then.
Yep.
Do that.
Well, I don't know that we have to move to 22.
I just think that realistically, it getting to a construction point in FY21 is.
And I remember your comments on that too. Yeah.
We
thought realistically it wouldn't be until 2022.
It's also hinging on the space needs study and new county attorney input, and then getting all those pieces to come together in fiscal year 21 and move to a construction point. I just think that's a pretty tight timeline.
So what I'm hearing people being comfortable with is to change it for planning, $45,000 in FY21 and move the $629,000 to FY22 for construction.
So the question is, was the $629,000, was that just construction on here, or did that include the planning in this initial?
That includes architectural engineering fees would be,
so
but not in that. But the $629,000 wouldn't include, because I think we, the $45,000 come from as if best case scenario, we get to a architectural engineering standpoint, and that would be roughly $45,000. Then you could deduct that from the $629,000.
Okay, gotcha, gotcha. Okay.
Well, let's just leave it for now, knowing that.
Okay. So when you say leave it for now, Linda?
Let's leave the $629,000
for 22. For 22,
okay.
Good. Knowing this is, this could change quite a bit.
Right.
Okay. Is that all right then with everybody?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And anything else that we've got anything else, Mr. Margaret, that you would like to point out? Okay. Leanne, you got the changes? Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Phyllis and Sandra. They did a great job of tracking things.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. giving input to Erica to change things. Thank you, Erica, for taking care of it.
Yeah. Very clean. I mean, you were a little itty bitty, just kind of things that kind of, but they're so good.
Okay. Anything else, Leanne? You're sending it out for public input, and you'll present that to the board on March 3rd?
Yeah.
Then what?
Then we'll start the official adoption process concurrent with the adoption of the budget.
Okay.
I do want to just take a moment and do express my thank you to everyone that helped out while I was gone, too. This exemplifies it kind of takes a village, because many people had to track it. So thank you to everyone.
We did a good job helping people get ready to do that also. Thank you for all your work on that. So, now we go to upcoming agenda items. Are there any to suggest other than routine business we'll have coming up next time?
I don't have anything that's coming up, not that's talking to the topic.
Okay. And we will go to public forum number 2, which is comments for the public on items not on the agenda. The board may not take any action due to the requirements of the open meetings law, but may do so in the future. I'll open public forum number 2, and I will invite any members of the public to come to the microphone. Seeing no members of the public coming to the microphone, I will close public forum number 2, and we'll move on to liaison assignments, committee meeting updates, and announcements from the supervisors. Who'd like to start?
Okay. So, tomorrow I have a couple of discussions with various Ames City officials, Story County medical official, and someone from Des Moines who is involved with nonprofit affordable housing. And so we're actually going to sit down and talk about possibilities moving forward about a possible project for Story County. I'm also meeting with a director of a nonprofit who's involved with the Amos proposal for Housing First. Neither one of those are a committee assignment so much, but it's I'm excited that those conversations are starting to happen. And then on Thursday, of course, we will be down at the IFACS workshop is what they're calling it, I guess, or I can't remember what it's called, but it's a one-day meeting from 2 till 3, roughly. The Iowa Workforce Development staff is coming in to talk to supervisors and do a question and answer about the Workforce Investment and Opportunity Act changes as they sit today. I said to Linda earlier, and Lisa, I'll say to you, if you don't want to stick around for that unless you're interested in it, okay, I anticipate it's going to be the same 101 that has gone over and over and over, and I've been to so many of these meetings already. As we sit now, our Region 11 is slated that it looks like I'll be elected CLEO as of February for the current region, and then as it rolls over to what will be the new region or local development area as of July 1, we're not sure what that's called yet. Okay, so, you know, but so I'm hoping that what will happen at ISEC on Thursday will not be a repeat of what happened in Johnston, where it was really just a gang up of 27, 28 supervisors on the IWB staff. So, okay, on that. And also there's a meeting that I may slip out from Thursday morning to go to. So that's kind of my schedule.
Have a little bit lighter schedule this week. We have the budget conversation this afternoon. We have an assessor's meeting tonight at 5:30 over at the City of Ames. Thursday being down at the ISAC statewide supervisors meeting all day. And then Friday, I have on my schedule a meeting with Dustin with AEDC, and then our county attorney's farewell party if he will be departing us. Within another week after that. So,
thank you for reminding me that I will not be here that Friday afternoon. I'll be down in Des Moines meeting with HRDA or Urbandale with HRDA. Right. So.
And then just since we won't meet, so then Monday the 3rd, hard to believe we'll be heading into February already. I have a meeting in the morning with Chris Udar with ISU to talk about the child care initiative that they're working on. So I have that Monday morning, and then I have to double check. I might have a boost hiring committee meeting on there, although we've switched around our date so many times. I'm not 100% sure on that of the afternoon, so I will confirm on that one. That will go either stay on my schedule or be going off of it. So that's what I have coming up for the next 2 days.
Well, I have several things, all of them on my calendar as well. Ames Assessors Conference Board. Early evening at West Ames City Council, then I'll stand at the City Council meeting. There's going to be more discussion on the 2040 plan. Tomorrow morning, the Beta Economic Development Commission and ISAC on Thursday. The reception for Rockbawn County Attorney Friday at 2 o'clock. Everybody, please, it will be here, so we'll look forward to seeing you here. And just for general, announcement, 8:30 Saturday, League of Women Voters has a legislative wake-up, and it's on campus. I can't remember where it is, but it's probably on the website. And then Monday evening is caucuses, for those of you who are so inclined. So, busy week. Okay. Anything else? Any other announcements? Okay. Then I would entertain motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
Seddon.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Merkin. Aye. We are adjourned.